Now bring us the message this morning.
Okay, you got me. You know, I looked out and saw the little girl was here. I'm thinking, where's my wife at? I forgot she was on the she was on the piano. And since there's not a service tonight, I'll give you a double message this morning. In the same time frame as one message, though. You can open your Bible to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to focus on Moses' family this morning. His mom and dad, and then Moses. But I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for the worshipful songs we've sung already. And Lord, thank you for getting our attention upon you. Pray that you would be the one that would be lifted up and glorified and focused on this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit might have his way in each one of our lives. Thank you for each visitor today. Pray they'd feel welcome and loved, and we thank them for worshiping with us today. And Lord, I pray especially if there be one here today that's never trusted you as their personal Savior the Bible way, I pray, Father, that they would make that decision even before I finish this message, that they might call upon you and have their life changed and their direction for all eternity changed in the moment they call upon you to be their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray now as I use your word and deliver it to the flock here that you'll use it in their lives and that they might be able to leave this place encouraged and challenged and better able to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Moses, we've heard a lot about Moses, and he towers like a titan. In the vast reaches of Scripture, he's mentioned many, many times. Might surprise you. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, other historical books, Psalms and prophets mention him. The Gospels, 37 times. Acts, 19 times. Paul's epistles, 22 times. Even in the book of Revelation. So 784 verses in the Bible mention Moses. 705 in the Old Testament, 79 in the New Testament. Liberal pastors do not believe that Moses was important, nor do they accept and revere his writings that are inspired of God. And that's a very foolish thing to do. Look in Exodus chapter 2, and then I'm going to read just a few verses in Hebrews chapter 11. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him. And said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now let's just take a quick look at Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll read verses 23 through 26. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we read about this great man, Moses, you know, and as you read his whole life, you'll see he had many accomplishments. He was a scholar, a statesman, soldier, prophet, saint, emancipator. He wrote the first song in Scripture, Exodus chapter 15, 1 through 19, and his song will be sung in heaven, Revelation 15, 3 tells us. He met Jesus Christ. He was more than likely part of the people on the Mount of the Transfiguration, and Moses would have been there probably. And there's probably no man in Scripture any greater than Moses. And much of the credit for his success has to be given to his parents. Jochebed is mentioned the most, but the father's name is Amram. He also had a part because Hebrews chapter 11 says his parents. But he's kind of in the background, and Jochebed was the one that Pharaoh's daughter hired. And she's the mother. She was a great mother. She gave birth to Moses. And at the same time, Pharaoh ordered the death of all male Hebrew babies. They were to throw them in the Nile River. Now, there's a great parallel today of what's happening in our country, and that's the abortion. You know, it's not much different than what the Pharaoh ordered back in that day. And really, it's Satan trying to prevent the eventual birth of the Messiah. It's an attack on the Jewish race. So it's a very difficult circumstance to raise children. But the fact that Moses, Miriam, and Aaron could come from a slave hut along the Nile during the time of Pharaoh, and the fact that these three were followed and were used by God says a lot about the parents, especially Jochebed. They were not afraid of Pharaoh, so they did not kill their child. Hebrews 11:23. Now, many parents would have made sure that they would not have any children, but Moses' parents were not intimidated. Moses is born in Satan's shadow. He's trying to defeat and destroy God's people. And largely because of the faith and courage of Moses' parents, his plan failed. Moses was God's instrument, eventually to emancipate the people of God from Egypt. Look in Genesis chapter 15, just for a moment. I'll read a couple of verses there. Genesis chapter 15. It's a promise from God. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So this is a prophecy given to Abraham, and it was fulfilled, just as God said. See, Satan wants to stamp out God's people, and he failed because God sent a baby into the world who would accomplish his purposes. Remember, there's another baby that was sent into the world by the name of Jesus later on, and he accomplished the purposes of God the Father. So a baby born in a slave hut on the Nile River was a significant event in God's plan for the ages. Now, why was that? Well, because Jochebed believed that God was greater than Pharaoh. And we can thank the Lord that she did that. You know, the Mosaic Law, Scriptures, lies at the heart of many, many law systems today, including our own. Our law system is based upon the Bible. And Moses wrote a lot of that Bible that it's based upon. He wrote the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. And that is a great portion of Scripture. In fact, it's so important. If you don't understand the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, you're going to have a hard time understanding the rest of the Bible. So it lays a firm foundation for our faith. But remember, without the courage and faith and training of his parents, Moses would not have risen to such heights. So we give a lot of credit to his parents. You know, the fact that they even had a child is pretty amazing in light of what they were surrounded by. But they had a child named Moses. And then later on, she gives him an escape from death. As long as they hid Moses from the Egyptian authorities. He was hidden within the four walls of their humble home, which was a safe haven for him. Nothing to harm Moses there. It was a God-fearing home. And thank God for homes like that. I mean, a godly home that seeks God's will for the home, built upon biblical convictions. I can only imagine how this godly couple who feared God more than man would operate their home if it were today. Have you ever thought about something like that? A godly home to raise kids in. And many of you here today have that kind of home. You've raised your kids in a godly home. And what a treasure that is for children. I can remember seeing some ungodly homes. One of the first things I did in ministry, and this was 50 years ago, was a bus ministry. And I'd go into neighborhoods and pretty bad sections of town and pick up kids. I'd knock on the door on Saturday, and the kids would say, I want to go. I'd come there Sunday morning. The parents would be still sleeping. The kid would be up. I'd walk in, you know, ashtrays running over, beer cans all over the place, and just a mess. And but the little child wanted to go to Sunday school. So I'd take their little hand and put them on the bus, and some of them ended up going to the Christian school through the years. And I'm not sure how they ended up, but they at least had someone helping them. Our church liked to help kids like that. But if I were to walk into a godly home today and look around, I wouldn't see cigarette packs and ashtrays running over with butts and cigarette butts and other kinds of smoked things. I wouldn't open their refrigerator and see it packed with beer. I wouldn't open their cupboard and see whiskey bottles all over the place. I would see strict supervision of TV and internet. When we raised our kids, if we watched the program and they used God's name in vain, click. If there were sex scenes, it would click. If there was a glorification of sin, click. You know, Satan hates our children, and he wants to destroy them. And it's a parent's responsibility to shelter and shield our children from Satan's destructive ways while they live at home. Think of the violence and immorality and perversion on TV today. What about the vileness of outright pornography on TV and cable and internet. Strong temptation, not just for kids. There's temptations there for all ages, regardless of our age. It's right there. Click of a button. Little touch on your phone. How about the foul, soul-destroying lyrics of a lot of music today? I just challenge young people sometimes, well, you just take the lyrics of some of these rock and roll songs or rap songs and you put it beside Scripture. And you'll see it doesn't line up too good. It's not God's message. It's Satan's message. He's trying to reach your heart and get a foothold in your life. So the question is, are we protecting our children from this by maintaining a godly home, a home where goodness and godliness are constantly taught and exemplified before our children, where Satan is not welcome in any form? I think Jochebed Amram had a godly home, and that's one of the very reasons Moses was so successful. But the day came when Jochebed and Amram could no longer hide Moses in the home. Today, and this day actually comes for every parent eventually. They go to school where they meet children whose parents do smoke, not just cigarettes. They drink and they watch junk. They may sit in a classroom where the teacher is humanistic and he hates God. The teacher might believe Darwin instead of Moses' writings. They may rub shoulders with fellow students who take drugs and drink and engage in immorality, and some of them will even say they're Christians. It's all out there. And Jochebed and Amram, they eventually have to trust their baby to God. And parents have to do that. And we raise them till they're about 18, and then they're going to go out on their own. And you have to trust God. You're not going to be with them. You have to trust God. There was death all around as they placed their baby in this miniature ark. Kind of made me think a little bit about Noah's Ark, the way this was made. But they trust their little bundle of joy to God's care. They put all their faith in God. And you know what they were assured of, and we can be assured of this too? God always honors true faith. And they believed that. They didn't fear Pharaoh, and they had a trust in God. And by a deliberate act of believing faith that is backed up by the power of godly lives, Christian parents must commit their children to Christ. And we do that now, and my wife and I, we do that with our grandkids as we see them grow. You can't be there with them, but you can pray for them. You can model faithfulness to God before them. And as I mentioned, God always honors faith. He alone can surround them with adequate protection once they have to venture out beyond the confines of a good and godly home. So she gave birth. She gave him an escape from death. And then we see she gave him godly motherly care. You know, God displayed his mighty power to Amram and Jochebed many times throughout their experiences. Remember, they had two other children, Aaron and Miriam, all played a significant role in history. And but we're talking about Moses here. God had displayed his power many times, but one time it must have really impressed her, and that was when Pharaoh's daughter came down to the water, and she found Moses in the water in this little ark. She discovered the baby. Moses cried, like babies do. He was hungry, probably wet, light shining in his little eyes, strange person looking at him. I think some of us would scare a baby, you know, if we got down there and looked at him. I was at the dentist the other day, and the dentist came in. It was a lady. I prefer lady dentists, by the way, because they have smaller hands, and they do just as good a work. I've had men, they have to clamp your mouth wide, way open, so they can get their hand in there. But this lady came in. She had a mask on. She had this big light, some kind of a contraption on her head, and she, when she looked at me, it looked like somebody from outer space. You know, I think she would scare kids with that outfit on. But that's, you know, Moses here. Little Moses, the baby, he cries. The daughter has compassion on him. She decides to adopt Moses to be her child. And little did she know that her decision would change the future of Egypt and the world. But you know, God had everything under control. He always does. You know, maybe you're facing something today in life and you think there's no hope. Well, there is hope. You think there's no answer. Well, there is an answer. You think it's the end. Well, it's not the end. Because God always has everything under control. And not only that, his timing is always perfect. Moses' sister Miriam shows up at just the right time. Do you think that was an accident? Do you think that was luck? Do you think that was just a chance? She shows up at just the right time. She offers to get a Hebrew nurse to take care of the baby. And the royal princess likes the idea and gives her the okay. When I read that, you know what I thought? I thought that God rewards courageous and unwavering faith. Who would have written a story like that, had that kind of an outcome? But that's the story God gives us, and that was the outcome. Miriam gets, guess who, to be the baby's caretaker after the plan is approved. And not only does she pick her mother, Jochebed, she gets paid to take care of her own son. I mean, it would have been enough to just be able to take care of her own son, but she got paid to do it. Only the Lord could work things out like that. God rewards Jochebed's faith, and also Amram, you know, he's part of it. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, 23, her parents, so, you know, both of them together. But Jochebed's kind of the main character in Scripture, you know, this story. And that would be a good place to end the story. And she lived happily ever after, you know, that kind of thing. But there's more to it. And I got to thinking about the question, now what would Jochebed do with her new opportunity to raise her son Moses and Amram too? Well, I think one of her concerns would be to get the word of God into his mind before the professors of Egypt filled his mind with foolishness. And Amram would be a big help too on that. She would certainly teach Moses about God's ways and works. What would she teach him? Well, I think the book of Genesis gives us a little bit of a clue what Moses learned in those early years. What do we read about in Genesis? Well, we read about creation. We read about Cain and Abel. We read about Enoch. We read about Noah and the flood. We read about the Tower of Babel. We read about Abraham and all the promises. We read about Sodom and Gomorrah. We read about Lot and his wife, Ishmael and Isaac, Jacob and Esau, the 12 patriarchs, the story about why they were slaves to begin with, the story of Joseph. You know, the story of Joseph takes up one-fourth of the book of Genesis, and it's about the same royal courts. He was under Pharaoh as well. And so I think she spent that time, and her husband Amram, I think they spent that time, it was time well spent. I think they really focused on spiritual things. I think they maintained a good and godly home in what they allowed and what they didn't allow in the life of Moses. You know, the Jesuits used to say, give me a child until they are 7 years old, and then you can do what you want with them. You see, by the age of seven, the child's life's course has been set. And he would follow the Jesuits' teachings, even though they're erroneous. And the communists like that. We see that in our own day, really, because, you know, a lot of schools, elementary schools, they want to get a lot of this liberal, woke philosophy stuff into little kids. They want little kids to read books about, you know, little children getting sex changes and things like that. They want to desensitize them to the things of God because they know these kids will end up growing up thinking that's normal. We're not the normal ones anymore. They're the normal ones. We're the odd ones. And that's they reverse the thinking of kids if they can get them young enough. They can get that kind of stuff into them before the things of God get in there. And so that's true. But here we see Jochebed and her husband Amram. They have Moses in his early formative years. So I think she would agree with that statement of the Jesuits, give me a child until they're 7 years old, and then you can do with what you want with them, because their life's course has been set. She did a thorough job of training Moses. She didn't waste time. She tirelessly trained Moses. I see moms today, you know, they have these little ones and they're training them and they don't want to, they better not waste time. You know, put off tomorrow what you can do today because that 4, 5, 6 years is gone fast. But there's still a lot of godly moms. They pour their life into those children in the early years and it pays off just like Moses ended up. It pays off in the long run. You know, the day came when she would have to send Moses to the palace for Egyptian training. Remember, she already had to put him in the little ark and trust God to tend them, take care of them, watch over them, protect them. And now she has to send them off again to the palace. And I can just hear her saying to Moses, remember what I taught you, Moses. Remember God, Moses. Remember faith, Moses. Remember what your dad and mom taught you, Moses. And you know, Moses never forgot what his mother taught him. Look in Hebrews chapter 11 again. I want to read these verses again here. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He never forgot his parents' teaching. He never forgot what they taught him. The universities of Egypt, the temptations of the palace, the lure for power and position, the wealth, the possibility of a powerful worldly throne never erased his mother's teaching and training. His parents, and without a doubt, the result of their teaching was one of the greatest men for God who ever walked on this earth. And the parents have a lot to get a lot of credit for that. Jochebed was one of the greatest mothers for God that ever raised a child. And Amram too. Remember, it says parents in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And they did it even in very, very difficult circumstances. I have 10 grandkids, age 16 down to about 3. And I know they're going to be faced with things that I didn't face when I was a kid. Things are tough today. It's a dangerous place out there for children to grow up. And if there was ever a time where parents need to be diligent, it's now. If there's ever a time where parents need to find out what's being taught in public schools, it's now. And you may be shocked what's going on in some of the schools of our nation today. But Amram and Jochebed, even in the very, very difficult circumstances, they trusted the Lord. And that's a good thing. As bad as things seem today, parents can still have faith. They still can trust God. They still can instill godliness and goodness into the lives of their children. They still can trust their kids to God when they have to leave the home. She didn't make excuses. She just did the job. And that's how, for us, as I bring this message to a close, and we're going to be out of here a little early because we have more preliminaries when Pastor Poehler's here. That's for us today. The message is, and this is where I'll close, we're to face and deal with life, no matter what you have in life. And when we're young people, we have battles and things to deal with. When we're middle age, we have battles to deal with. When we get older, we have battles to deal with. And they're not always the same, but they're battles. They're life. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to trust Him. He's just available to us today as He was for Jochebed and Amram back in that day. And they were able to take three children that were born in a slave hut along the Nile River with an oppressive, terrible government, and they turned out three good kids that made a big impact on the world, especially Moses. So trust God. Whatever your issue is today, trust the Lord. Commit it to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, I do thank You for Your word, and I just pray that You'll use this message in some way in the hearts and lives of the people. I'm a weak servant, stammering lips, and yet You can take even a weak message sometimes and use it in a mighty way in our hearts and life. And I pray that, again, that the focus of our attention might be upon You, Your word, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your power, and the way that You can work in our lives today. And I do pray for those here today struggling with issues, maybe with kids and grandkids, and help us, Lord, to be able to just trust You and allow You to work in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.